morning. My wife and I are going to be gone next week, so I'm not going to have my Christmas sermon for y'all. But I do want to talk about something related to Christmas. And we all know this phrase, the Christmas spirit, right? And as we go through this season, people try to live up to this spirit of Christmas. And that spirit of Christmas has some characteristics, doesn't it? When we think about the characteristics of the Christmas spirit, the words that come to mind to me are love. We really push loving one another at this time of the year. And not just love for those close to us, but the phrase love of our fellow man tends to get thrown around as well. Showing love for our fellow man, especially those who are downtrodden. You'll see the word joy on a lot of Christmas decorations. And this idea, we also sing the carols that people sing. Joy to the World is the one that we like to sing a lot. This idea of joy, of being happy no matter what's going on in life, is another thing that sort of pervades this time of the year. As well as peace, the Carpenter's Christmas is what speaks a lot to me, listening to Karen Carpenter sing Christmas songs. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. I hear Karen Carpenter singing those words all the time. But this idea of having peace and of burying the hatchet with problems, this is a very common lesson that we have for each other at this time of the year. Being patient with one another. This one might be a little bit more elusive in our society, but I think we still try to push for being patient with one another. Sometimes at the checkout counter, we're a little less than patient. And of course, all year long, we're always impatient with those on the road with us. But patience is something that I think a large portion of us push for at this time of year. Of course, being kind. And of course, what goes with kindness is generosity, right? This idea of giving this season, the only rivaling of giving to charities would be around Thanksgiving. But typically, Christmas will beat out most charities in terms of gift-giving times of the year. But people like to give a lot. This is the time that the Salvation Army goes and stands at every door imaginable, including my own, it feels like. But those cans are full, aren't they? Especially by the end of the season. Many people also push for remembering the season. So you'll see the phrase "the reason for the season." You'll see that a lot. We just did the drive-through light show up in St. Joseph last night, and there was a whole reason for the season and a whole nativity scene, right? You'll see that a lot as well, is remembering why the season has meaning for a lot of people. Whether or not you believe it's the birth of Jesus, this idea of this is one of the few times that we see the highest numbers of church attendance is at this time of the year. And then what goes along with the idea of patience and kindness and peace, I think people do try to be a little more gentle with each other. And then again, you'll see this a little less with patience, but I think some people go for this one as well, is self-control. I think people do try, except for with alcohol, I think people try to be have a lot more self-control at this time of the year. And you'll see a lot, I've seen a lot of times where police officers will pull you over and say, "Well, I won't give you a ticket this time." And usually something about being safe and or paying the generosity forward to someone else, right? But this idea of I don't have to give you what you deserve, sometimes you get that. First of all, I want to ask you, what does this list look like? Because if you were paying attention, Corbin just read this list for us almost word for word, didn't he? But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Isn't it interesting that the Christmas spirit, the way that we see the Christmas spirit in our culture, is the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Of course, it's no coincidence, is it? That suddenly this season is some of the best time of the year because everyone is acting the most like a Christian should. Again, that's no coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. God knew this. And this is why he asks us to behave in this manner. The question that I have, not just for us, but everyone in our society, is why don't we have this attitude all year long? Why is it just this season? Do not get me wrong, I am so glad that we, especially as a society, have the idea that this is the way we need to be, if only for a month in the year. I am very grateful for that. I know some preachers that I don't want to talk anything about Christmas because I don't believe in the birth of Christ being on Christmas Day, and I understand that, but this is where everybody's mind is. People's minds are right here on Christmas. And whether or not they understand it, everybody, even non-religious alike, know the religious side of Christmas and the connection to Jesus. And people are thinking about it. And people who have never attended a church service in their entire life on December 24th might just darken a church door. This is what we really should be teaching, though. I'm so glad that we have this season. This season reminds people of what's really important. Christmas and funerals. Those tend to be what really make people remember what's most important. And when we remember what's most important, the entire nation and other nations around the world can all agree that what's really important is to act the way God has asked us to act. That's what's really important. But let's take a look at this question here. We're going to look at a few Bible verses here. I guess this is dead. If you'll turn with me first to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Jesus is warning his disciples. Of course, he's been warning them about what's coming his entire ministry, really. But let's look at verse 7. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. That's for the disciples. That's not for us. We always have the Lord with us. But listen to what he said there. You always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish in the month of December. No, whenever you wish, you can do good. You want to give to a charitable organization? You don't have to wait until December. You don't have to wait until it's fiscally advantageous to you, get it in before the year ends so I can put it on my taxes. No, you can take care of that whenever you want. You can do this all year long. What about 1 Timothy 4, verse 16? 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Here Paul is telling Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. If you're persevering, when are you doing these things? All the time. if you persevere in doing what God would ask you to do. And just above this, what Paul's really been focused on is how he's preaching, how he's evangelizing to other people. That's actually really the focus. And then he gets to pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Right? Is it just Christmas time that we need to pay attention to the kind of people that we are? That it's at Christmas time when I need to stop and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to rage on the road. I'm going to have a little bit more patience at the checkout counter. It's just Christmas time that we're supposed to remember that? Or what about James chapter 1? James chapter 1. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Persevering under trial. I would say that our year, every year, seems to be a trial, isn't it? No matter what's going on, whether we're talking about current events, politics, whether we're talking about social or cultural changes, right? It always seems to be a trial, especially for Christians. But we have to be persevering. And I'm glad that we do have a time where we remember what's really important, but keep it in mind all year long. 1 Peter chapter 3. I have 14 through 16 here. I actually want to start reading in verse 8. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Wouldn't you say that sounds like most people in this country around this time? So people try to behave in this manner? For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you're blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. I love that in verse 15. Always being ready to make a defense. It's interesting that we really start talking about religion at this time of the year. Instead of perhaps going out and talking to people about something a little more important than a miraculous birth. How to behave in our daily lives. Yes, we couldn't have learned quite what we've learned without Jesus being born, but come on. There's a lot more to living our daily life instead of looking at a manger scene. And here's where we sort of split from the rest of the country. Again, we think about doing this for this time of the year. But why do we do this the entire year? If you go back up to verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But only during Christmas? And this idea of God is watching is not meant to be a boogeyman in the closet. The idea of God is always watching is really supposed to bring us peace. It's only the boogeyman for those who are not his children. But for us who are his children, it should be a peace bringer. That God is watching. Not that he's watching and then if I slip up, then God's going to bring down the full hammer of his wrath. But that when we do slip, God is there to help us pick ourselves up. That when we're doing good, God is watching and willing to bless us for when we do good. But most importantly, that God is there because he's promised us that he would always be there. Does he always protect us from physical danger? No. Does he protect us from overdrafting our bank account? No. What he is there is he's watching out for our spirit, the most important possession that we have. And if God is watching all year, then why am I not doing what I need to do all year long? We're going to be looking at one more passage. I feel like that this is sort of a summation of what we've been talking about so far this morning, but I want us to take our time to go through this verse here. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 12. This is Paul talking. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Hey, we just read that. But always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. I love all of the superlatives that are here. Always, without ceasing, in everything. But I want you to notice what he's been summing up here. He's been talking in the first part of chapter 5 about there being a day in which God will come. Particularly Jesus, that the Lord will come. And that he will return and take us to be with him forever. And because of that, we read verse 12. And we mentioned earlier about how Jesus or how God is always watching, but we should always be watching for him as well. We do not know the day in which he will come. And again, that's not meant to be a boogeyman. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, so. No, that's not the point. The point is we should be looking for our salvation. Because that will be when our salvation is firmly planted, is when he comes. And because of that, I want you to notice right before verse 12, what did he say there? Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also are doing. Notice that he's praising them for what they're already doing and then telling them to continue in doing it. And then we get our material, verses 12 through 22. And once again, Christmas wasn't a tradition when Paul's writing this. This isn't just for Christmas time. This is for us to always remember. It's no surprise that he ends this section the way that he does. He's been telling them to rejoice and pray and give thanks. Things that people actually do in this time. But then he says, hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. And that's where we fall apart in this season. When we think about the Christmas spirit, the way that we mentioned it before, it does sound a lot like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. But they're doing it because of some misunderstanding of what's best for humanity. Those things are good for humanity and ultimately will be our best courses of action as we go about our daily lives. You should be doing it for the Lord, not because it seems right to you, not because it's what brings about peace. Not because of some general understanding of goodwill toward men. Those are all great things. But it's not the real reason. We do it because it's for the Lord. And as I mentioned before, the Christmas spirit is a general understanding. Because I'm sure as you've moved through this season, there are some people that decide not to live up to those same societal expectations. And we start to break down. And the reason for that is because we're not focused on holding fast to what's good and abstaining from evil, because those have a connection to God. And that's not where people's mind is. It's not about what's for God. But one thing that I can always appreciate at this time, it's what I hear on the radio. I love listening to Christmas music. I used to be sort of a curmudgeon about it where the day, really it should be December 1st, but okay, fine, the day after Thanksgiving. But sometimes you just want to play some Christmas music. And it's in the middle of October. And I'm less of a curmudgeon about it now. But I will say one of my favorite songs that's on the radio is O Holy Night. And particularly, I love Celine Dion's version. As she's singing through, of course, she's a fantastic vocalist in her own right. But as we get further and further in the song, she's been building to this climax in the song. And then we hear she hits this note, Christ, and then the orchestra, and there's a chorus behind her, and it slams you with the word Christ. And of course, if you're a musician, there's this amazing chord that happens right there too. Christ is the Lord. Let everywhere forever praise thee. I love hearing that on the radio. Christ is the Lord. Whether or not you care anything for celebrating the birth of Jesus, at any time of the year, and especially this time, we can always remember that Christ is the Lord. And because of that, he's asked you to live in a particular way. And we might look at it and call it the Christmas spirit. But that Christmas spirit must be all year long. However, having the Christmas spirit all year long won't do you a whole lot of good in the long run if you're not one of God's children. So it's the Christmas season. And perhaps you've been thinking about this more often than at other times of the year. And if you are one of those people, then I ask you to dig into that. To plant your feet firmly in what you are feeling right there. And then make a choice. Make a choice to revere Christ as Lord in your heart. And then you come here as we're singing. Right up here. I'm standing up here waiting for you. And then we're going to have a talk. And I'm going to tell you this. You've heard God speak today because we've been reading the Bible. And hopefully you believe in what he has said. And you need to understand that you need to repent. Not just because it's Christmas time, but because it's what's really important. And once you repent, then you're going to confess who Jesus really is. Jesus isn't just a baby that some believe was born around this time. Jesus was God in the flesh. And yes, he was born of a virgin, which was miraculous enough. But then he lived a life that was even more miraculous. Because even though he was a human being, he never sinned. Something no human being has ever done or will ever do again. But not only that, he died for you. And more unbelievably, he rose from the dead, thus giving power and hope to the death that he went through and the blood that was spilled, so that you can be baptized and that you can start your life walking with God. Because, as with all things, the Christmas time will end. And we'll go back to the degenerate people we like to be. And the time will pass you by. And you don't know when your time is up. But you can do something about it right now. If you have already become a child of God, and perhaps you're evaluating your year and the time that you have had and been thinking a little more about what's important, and you realize that you haven't been the Christian this year that you should have been, now is the time to come up here. And by the way, there's room for more than one person on the pews up here. But you can come up here as well. And you can decide that now is the time to live for Christ all year long. For the rest of this year, for the coming year, and for the years after. But the time is almost up. And so you need to take advantage of this opportunity right now. So please don't waste it as we stand and as we sing.